Come with me, take my hand, and we'll live
in a land where the river runs free, in a land through the green country, in a land to a shining sea.
And you and me are free to be, you and me.
Come in, come in, to Aunt Sally's Story Shop. Oh, Skedaddle, are you hurt?
No, I'm all right.
Here, let's pick up these cookie cans. You and Tulip may hang your sweaters on the hooks over there. My, those hooks are a little dusty, aren't they? Well, never mind. Just dust a couple off for yourselves.
Whose red coat is this, Aunt Mally?
I'm glad you asked me that, Skedaddle. That Red Riding Hood belongs to Little Red Riding Hood. I'm sure you've heard of her.
Sure. Is Lead Fighting Wood here? I'd love Tulip to see her.
Not yet, my friend. But just you and Tulip sit down, and I'll get my bonnet. Then you'll see. Foxtail? Ah, there you are. Come on now, move. I need this bonnet more than you do right now. You can sleep on my lap instead.
Meow.
That's a good cat. This bonnet is aching to give us a story. I'll just settle myself down and fix this hat. Now then, are you children ready?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad you two are on the couch because I want you to relax and close your eyes. Forget all your cares and worries and try to imagine we are going back in time. Gone are skyscrapers, television and cars. People live in small villages which are surrounded by pasture land with cows and sheep and forests with wild animals in them. Woodcutters work in the forests, and so begins our story. Once upon a time, there lived in a certain village a little girl and her mother. In another village close by lived the grandmother of this little girl. Now the grandmother loved this little girl so much that she made her a beautiful little red coat and hood to be worn when riding on a cart or on horseback or even when she was just out walking. So much did the little girl like this coat that she wore it all the time and soon came to be called Little Red Riding Hood. One day, Little Red Riding Hood's mother called her in from play.
Go, my dear, and see how thy grandmamma does, for I hear she's been very ill. Carry her this custard and this little pot of butter.
I will go right away, mother.
You must go through the woods, but there are many woodcutters there, so if you have trouble or lose your way, you may ask one of them.
Yes, mother, I will be all right. As she was going through the wood, she met with old Mr. Wolf, who had a very great mind to eat her up, but he dared not because of some woodcutters nearby in the forest.
Whither are you going, little girl?
I am going to see my grandmamma and carry her a custard and a little pot of butter from my mamma.
Does she live far off?
Aye, it is beyond that mill you see there, at the first house in the village.
Well, I'll go and see her, too. I'll go this way and go you that, and we shall see who will be there soonest.
The wolf ran off as fast as he could go, taking the nearest way, while Little Red Riding Hood went by the longest way about. She also spent time gathering nuts, running after butterflies, and making bouquets of little flowers she met with. The wolf was not long before he got to the old woman's house.
Who's there? Your grandchild, Little Red Riding Hood. I've brought you a custard and a little pot of butter sent you by Mama. Pull the bobbin and the latch will go up.
Well, the wolf pulled the bobbin and the door opened, and presently he fell upon the good woman and ate her up in a moment, for it had been more than 3 days since he had eaten. He then shut the door and went into the grandmother's bed, expecting Little Red Riding Hood any moment.
Who's there?
My, That doesn't sound like Grandmama. But who else could it be? I guess she just sounds that way because of her cold. 'Tis your grandchild, Little Red Riding Hood, who has brought you a custard and a little pot of butter from Mama.
Pull the bobbin and the latch will go up. Put the custard and the little pot of butter upon the stool and come and sit beside me, my dear.
Little Red Riding Hood went to sit beside the bed, where she was greatly surprised to see how her grandmother looked. Grandmama, what great arms you have!
That is the better to hug thee, my dear.
Grandmama, what great eyes you have!
It is to see thee better, my child.
Grandmama, what great teeth you have.
That is to eat thee up.
So saying, the wicked wolf fell upon Little Red Riding Hood and would have eaten her up if a woodcutter had not come in just at that very moment and chopped off his head. Then who should climb out of the old wolf's body but Grandmama?
Grandmama!
Red Riding Hood!
Now, what do you think of that, Skedaddle?
Pretty good. I know a version of that story. Well, the wolf is a vacuum cleaner salesman, and he comes into Grandma's house, see? And instead of eating her up, vacuums her up.
That's what I call a fractured fairy tale. But you know, there are many, many ways of telling fairy tales. That's because fairy tales were not written down for a long, long while. And each time someone told the story, they would change it a little. Some of the first people to write fairy tales were two brothers whose last name was Grimm. Listen, do you hear carousel music? My, my, there must be a circus in town. How exciting! Skedaddle, could you please look outside and see if there's a parade?
Sure, Aunt Mally. I mean Aunt Sally. Come here, Aunt Sally. It's Princess Tamalpa. She's wearing one of her beaded leather dresses, and she's leading a parade.
Well, what do you think of that? It certainly is Princess Tamalpa. And look at who's with her. Let's see, there are clowns and musicians, trapeze artists, and even a cage with some wild animals. Hello, Princess Tamalpa! She sees a Skedaddle, Tulip, and here she comes with everyone following.
Good morning, Aunt Sally and Skedaddle. Good morning, girls and boys. Isn't it a grand day for a parade?
Yes, but where did you find all the circus people?
Why, from Fantasyland. That's where I went to find a story. It's one I heard when I was a young girl, and it stayed with me ever since. So I thought I'd find it again and share it with all of you.
What a wonderful idea, Princess Tamalpa.
The story was written by Ruth Ainsworth, and it's about the Phantom Carousel. There once was a boy named Silas. He had lived on a farm with his father and mother till he was 3. Then his parents were killed in a car accident, and he was taken to live with his Uncle Walter and Aunt Ellen in a crowded, smoky town. Silas remembered his mother as someone with a cloud of fair hair and a sweet scent, and his father as someone of immense height and strength, who sometimes swung him up onto the back of Blossom, the workhorse, and held him there. These memories were fostered by the photograph of his mother, which stood by his bed, and a snapshot of himself on Blossom. But Blossom's memory was kept green in another way, too. Every year, a fair came to the town, and Silas could hear the music of the carousel as he lay in bed at night. First of all, Uncle Walter took him to the fair on Saturday afternoon. The horses on the carousel were shaped like real horses, differing in color and expression. The first time Silas had a ride, his uncle said,
"Which will you have,
They're all much the same.
But to Silas, they were completely individual. Some looked sly, others even vicious. Some were proud, and others were friendly. Each one had its name painted on a band on its forehead.
Which one is this called, Uncle?
Pegasus. Hurry up. Which shall it be?
Pegasus, please.
And he was promptly lifted onto the painted saddle. Pegasus was a particularly fiery, spirited steed, with a coal-black mane and tail, and a red saddle. There was a tuft of hair springing up between his ears, and his eyes showed their whites in a curious manner. When the music started up, Pegasus gathered his strength and leaped forward, Silas clinging fast. The music was rousing and martial, and Silas pretended he was riding at the head of his men, leading a charge. He felt Pegasus' sides warm and throbbing, and saw the breath from his dilated nostrils. When his uncle lifted him down, he was in a daze of happiness.
Another ride, please. I don't want any pocket money for weeks, for months. You can keep it, but I must ride Pegasus again.
Silas was usually such a quiet little boy that his uncle was impressed.
All right. You're a good little fellow.
The next ride was better yet. Silas felt warmth coming from Pegasus' painted sides and even heard his labored breath. Pegasus' ears twitched and his mane felt coarse and living. The ride was quickly over, but something kept Silas from asking for a third turn. He didn't want to push his luck too far. The fair stayed only two nights. As Silas lay in bed, he listened to the music, and in his dreams he rode Pegasus once more. In the 12 months before the fair visited again, Silas dreamed regularly that he was riding his beloved Pegasus, and he often tried to draw him. One of his efforts was pinned up at school, and his teacher told him that Pegasus had been a winged horse. The second visit to the fair was even more memorable than the first. Silas was bigger and stronger and had saved his pocket money for weeks in preparation.
Okay, off we go. Just one ride, mind you.
Silas pressed his pocket money into his uncle's hand without a word. His uncle counted it carefully.
You can have, let me see, 6 rides, unless they have gone up since last year. Will you be all right if I go and have a try at the shooting gallery?
Yes, Uncle. I'll be all right.
At first he could not see Pegasus, but then a low whinny caught his ear. Pegasus slightly turned his head and moved his ears, welcoming his old friend. He was not as glossy as he had been a year ago, but he was still proud and spirited and full of life. The price had gone up, as his uncle had feared, but his money paid for 4 rides, each a marvelous experience. This time Silas rode over open country, jumping hedges and ditches and gates. Sometimes Pegasus's hoofs floundered in mud, and sometimes they rang on frozen ground. Clouds sailed by, branches swayed, birds wheeled, while they galloped in perfect freedom. By the end of the 4th round, Pegasus was sweating slightly, and his mighty chest heaved. Silas's pale cheeks were flushed, and he, too, was short of breath.
Till next year.
He gave Pegasus a farewell pat.
Don't forget me.
But the following year, the fair never came.
Packed up, I shouldn't wonder. It was on its way out last time.
Silas suffered in silence, thankful that Pegasus still came to him in his dreams. The next year, the fair still made no appearance, but Pegasus' dream visits continued. Then, the next year, the fair reappeared in all its glory. All the old favorites and many new ones, said the notices. Silas was now 11. He had a bicycle, and his aunt was not too fussy about where he went, as long as he was home before dark. On the first evening of the fair, Silas was there in good time, seeking the carousel. But the painted horses were gone. In their place were cars and airplanes, and Silas had no inclination to try either of these. He felt a lump in his throat, and his eyes smarted. Yet, in spite of almost everything being new, the man in charge was the same.
Where are the old horses?
Oh, scrapped,
done for. We must move with the times like everyone else.
What do you mean by done for? Do you mean burned?
Maybe they ought to have been burned, but the old horses are stored in a barn not far from here. Somehow I hadn't the heart to let them go.
Exactly. Where is the barn, sir?
At a village called Whitestones, about 20 miles away. But why do you want to know? You're not up to any mischief, are you?
I mean no harm. I just liked to ride on Pegasus when I was a little kid.
Silas moved away, his mind busy. He must see Pegasus again. He found Whitestones on a map at the public library and drew the route on a piece of paper. When an opportunity came, he would bicycle there. It must be a fine day or his aunt would fuss, and he mustn't arouse any suspicions. He had waited 3 years, so he could wait a little longer. The next Sunday was sunny. Silas got up early, pumped up his tires, packed some bread and cheese and an apple, and left a note on the kitchen table for his aunt. It was a blue summer morning with a few fleecy clouds blowing. Silas seldom went into the country, but he enjoyed all he saw, the black and white cows, the sheep, and the odd dog or cat going quietly about its business. He dreamed once during the previous night, but not really about Pegasus. He dreamed he was in a field, and nearby was a barn, almost falling to pieces. But it had a new tin roof. From inside came the sound of a horse whinnying and the stamp of a horse's hoofs. He woke before he had tried the door. When he reached Whitestones, it was 11 o'clock. He'd been cycling for nearly 3 hours and his legs ached. He ate the bread and cheese and had a drink from a stream, then walked down the village street pushing his bicycle. A woman was sweeping her front walk.
Do you know of a barn where some old carousel horses might be stored?
No, I'm sorry, son. I've never heard of one. He asked two more people with the same result. Then he came across a boy a few years older than himself, tinkering with his bicycle. He looked interested at the question and stood up, wrench in hand.
You're in luck. I happen to know. The shed's about a mile away near Orchard Farm. You'll know the place because it burned down a few years ago, and the farmer left. I looked through a crack in the door last autumn and saw something that might be what you're looking for.
Thanks a lot.
Silas got on his bicycle and rode up a long, gradual hill. Near the top were the blackened remains of a building and rows of apple trees. He left his bicycle by a stone gatepost and walked through the orchard. There, in the next field, was the building he had seen in his dream, unpainted, rickety, but with a tin roof gleaming in the sun. There was a rusty padlock on the door, but Silas, small and thin for his age, tugged a loose plank and slipped through. The carousel was smaller than he had remembered. He climbed over the rubbish that cluttered the floor, the darkness pierced by endless sunbeams that found their way through the wide cracks. There was a snowdrop, the white horse, and Warrior, the gray one, and Magpie, the patched one. But when he had completed the circle, he saw a gap, an empty brass rod, very tarnished, connected only with the canopy above. That was Pegasus's empty place. His disappointment was overwhelming. He had often feared he might not find the barn, but once that was identified, he never doubted that Pegasus would be safe inside, waiting for him. He touched the dusty wooden nose of one of the horses. It felt cold. He slipped out the way he had come, wiping his dusty hands on his trousers. Then he heard the eager whinny of a horse. He looked up. And there, in the next field, was a black horse galloping towards the gate. Silas ran too. Moments later, he was stroking the soft black nose and looking into the nervous, rolling eyes he knew so well.
Pegasus! My wonderful Pegasus! You're more beautiful than ever.
He gently pulled the tuft of hair between Pegasus' ears, stroking him as he talked.
Have half my apple. Oh, you've left me a bite. Very well, we'll share it. Now you can have the core.
Pegasus pressed against the gate alongside it, whinnying and gently tapping with a front hoof as if impatient. He put his head over the gate and nibbled Silas's jacket.
You want me to get on your back? Of course I will. I didn't understand at first. I've never been so happy in my life. This is just like my dreams, only better, because it's true. Perhaps you dreamed the same dreams, and they've come true together.
Pegasus began to move gently, then changed to a trot, then a canter, then a full gallop. The ground flew beneath his pounding hoofs. Silas felt like a king, a god. Then, as they approached the far hedge, the blue sky swung down to meet them, and the grass flew up at the same time. A black curtain fell across Silas's eyes. He saw flashing lights like the lights of the fair and heard loud music. Then all was silence. When Silas opened his eyes, he saw a bright red blanket and heard a soft voice saying, "That's better, Silas. Lie quite still. Everything will be all right."
"Where am I?"
"You're in a hospital, and I'm a nurse."
"Why am I in the hospital? I am not ill."
"You had an accident and bumped your head. You'll soon be better." He put up his hand and felt an unfamiliar turban of bandages. "Try to sleep, Silas. Your aunt will be coming this afternoon. She comes to see you every day." He closed his eyes and he slept. A day later, he was well enough to ask more questions, and his aunt responded.
"You were found in a field by a hedge 20 miles from here. Whatever were you doing, Silas, so far away?"
In time, Silas explained his search for the old carousel, but he never mentioned Pegasus's name. That was his secret, his dream.
"There was one thing no one could understand. You were lying near a ditch where water lay, and on the wet ground there were the prints of horses' hooves. The owner of the field says he never let it for grazing. Do you remember a horse?"
"No, I don't remember."
But he did. He never forgot that last wild ride on his winged steed. Pegasus must have flown away, leaving him earthbound. Well, life goes on, and boys with concussions and 10 stitches in their heads leave hospitals and even go back to school. Silas never dreamed of Pegasus again, but he never forgot him, in the same way that he never forgot Blossom. What nobody expected was that he should grow up, still small and thin and pale, and become a famous jockey. His greatest success was to win the Derby on a horse, well, a horse called Pegasus, a black horse, full of spirit. He had a way with horses, everyone said, a magical touch.
Thank you, Princess Tamalpa, for bringing your friends and such an exciting story. Now, what do you suppose might have happened if Little Red Riding Hood had run into Pegasus after seeing the wolf in the forest?
Well, she would have reached her grandmother's first.
Yes, and the story would have had a much different ending. Oh, look at the time. Well, children, we have to go, but we'll be back next week at 8:30 a.m. Remember to turn your dial to KTIM, 1510 a.m. for Aunt Sally's Story Shop. And don't forget to invite your friends. Goodbye, everyone.
I see. with me, take my hand.
Aunt Sally's Story Shop is a creation of Gail Mills and Lily Iona Susi.
In a land with a green country.